Showcase. Hello and welcome back to Millennial 8. I'm now here with Volker from the publishing house Young Europa Verlag. Volker, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience and then we'll talk about Young Europa itself?
Hey, thank you. Thank you especially for having me. Yeah, the Young Europa publishing house is a publishing house in Germany. We are situated in Eastern Germany, in Dresden, and we are publishing books since 2016. Mostly, you know, right-wing theory books, but also novels. We have many books from European authors. That's why it's called Jung Europa Verlag, which translates to useful Europe, you could say. And with the initial focus on French literature, which was translated then. But with the years, we also gained authors from other European countries and obviously German authors.
So, and you've also published some in English as well.
In English, not directly, but we translate from English books, obviously. So what we did this year was not a book, it's a calendar with English texts, because you know, we have also supporters from English speaking countries, and I think one of the first novels of which our publishing house translated was Sea Changes by
Derek Turner.
Yes, and it was, you know, a comment was written for the book by Richard Spencer, which back then wasn't, you know, like he is today. So he was a little more, it was in another time of, in another phase of his life, obviously. It was 2016 or 17, I think, where it was more focused on these American situations. So, and obviously this Derek Turner book is also more on this migration subject.
Yeah, I remember that coming out, and I remember Derek Turner. I was in contact with Derek Turner at the time, actually. I guess an interesting angle here would be, what are the challenges of running a publishing house like Young Europa? Because obviously there's a lot of censorship, a lot of oppression, people working against the new right in all sorts of ways. So what would you say? And of course, this is within the German context, but what would you say about that? I mean, is it a very difficult thing to run a company like this?
I think the most important part is like the economic part. So, of course, you have your enemies in political matters. But when the project started, it was like a one-man project of the head of the publishing house, Philipp Stein. So it's not me, I'm just his co-worker, and everything what he put in time into the project was his time. So it's a free time you put in that project, and if you got much free time. You could do like basically all the books you want to publish. And if you have no time, you make no books. So this was, I think, a crucial thing on the beginning on the publishing house. But later there were, you know, many the publishing house grew bigger. So we have obviously some translators all over Europe who are simultaneously working on translations right now for new upcoming books in the next year. We have authors like me. We have people who are always constantly searching for new books, and you have to publish this. So it costs most of costs time, and you are willing to invest this time. So, and all the other stuff comes beyond that. Like we were like, how should I put it? We are most certainly will be taken to court by a mainstream publishing house for sounding like them. So the other publishing house is called Europa Publishing House, and we are Jung Europa Publishing House, and this mainstream publishing house thinks this is some sort of resemblance, and will take us to court in next year. And this is, obviously political motivated, this, this act.
And I was going to say, do you think that they have been encouraged or asked to do that? I mean, it's a strange thing for them to do.
You know, the situation in Germany right now is that some people, of course, in the mainstream, not only in the mainstream publishing houses, but also in the whole literature scene, in the book scene, what should I call it?
The literature would think, world.
Think that they are all puppets of some sort of evil mastermind, but when you look closer at it, these people really think they are they have the a correct opinion, so they think what they're doing is right, so they are taking Jung Europa to jail, to court, and think that this is right, because they think that it is a resemblance, and it will probably damage their own publishing house, which is silly, but these people really think it. They are in their own. Sorry,
they have their own reasons for doing this. But yes. Do you think that they are politically motivated to do this? Do you think that they are opposed to Jung Europa Verlag?
Yes, obviously. Yeah. I did read. Get to know about some sort of what this publishing house Europa Verlag thinks of us, they see themselves as the democratic and anti-fascist publishing house of the idea of an anti-fascist publishing house. And in their world, such a project like Jung Europa obviously shouldn't exist. This is what they think.
Would you say that the publishing industry in general is left-wing, is liberal? How would you describe the publishing world in general? I mean, is it this gets to what I was asking about earlier, that How are you very much outsiders in that world?
Yes, we are some sort. You know, there are also publishing houses who could release some books which are conservative. They are accepted in the mainstream literature. You know, like the books of Ernst Jünger, who is like an important thinker amongst many German right-wingers, but his books are published by an mainstream publishing house, and this is accepted. But most, obviously, in the world of German literature, the protagonists are liberal, I would say. Sometimes also, you know, left-wing leaning. You know, you have some guys with Antifa connections or Antifa past. And this is not a problem at all. It's a problem when you get too right-wing when talking about migration, as an example, which will make you an outcast. We had this, I think, this year or the year before, where two East German authors, not from Jung Europa Publishing House, but from mainstream publishing house, they were, the first one, Monica Maron, she was fired from her publishing house because of her thoughts about politics. Say she had a problem with migration, and for the publishing house, this was enough to cut bonds. And with Uwe Tellkamp, it's the same thing. There are some East German figures in the literature scene who were against, you know, the GDR and the East German system before 1990, and then came into the German literature scene in the West German literature scene, and by now there are renegades once again, and this is sometimes funny to watch, because when this you know, mainstream literature guys fighting over themselves, it's a little bit funny to see.
Well, yes, we've had our own thing in Britain with J.K. Rowling.
Yes, yes,
you'll know about that. Yeah,
yeah, you could. It's the same. You could say not in that you know, matter of transgender, but I think the problem for these two guys was the migration thing. But it's, yeah, funny to watch.
Yes, it is. I mean, at the same time, I feel sorry for them. I mean, there is some Schadenfreude, but there is also some sympathy, because I think a lot of people in the mainstream don't realize that they think they're still free. And yes, then they find out, oh, actually, I've just said something that has got me disqualified from the, I've just broken the rules without meaning to.
Yes.
And it must be a frightening thing for them. It must be a, you know, not just a frightening experience, but also quite disturbing for them to realize that actually you're not free anymore. You might have been free in the 90s, 80s, but not now. On that matter, what I should ask a basic question.
Yes.
And I apologize for how basic it is, but what kinds of books does Jung Europa publish? Because people will be wondering.
Oh, yeah, it's a good question, obviously. Maybe we focus on this year, because we had like 8 books this year or more. We have started this year a new series of theory books, very small theory books. The first one being about modern capitalism. And the last one about identity, and another one, obviously, about Tolkien, when when these Amazon Prime series was released. So this series is a new one, which focus on imminent subjects, like obviously the Amazon Prime series, or subjects which are very, very basic, like, you know, about the whole identity thing. And on the other hand, we have novels, I said it before, but also in reminiscence of our name as Young Europa, as Youthful Europe, we publish, you could say, romantic books about the old Europe. We had published this year a book by Pietro La Rochelle, which was a French author, in famous author in the 20s and 30s. And in this time, he traveled Europe, and we did collect all his articles about these travels, about these about the way he perceives Europe in these days, because, you know, after the First World War, the fate of Europe wasn't that sure. So he traveled Germany, and Pietro La Rochelle was a, you could say, a fascist, but he wasn't fond of Nazi Germany, you could say, but he has his very own thoughts about the systems. He also traveled to Soviet Union and had his very special thoughts about this system. He traveled to Hungary, to the Czechoslovakian country, which was also very young at this time. And so he was very interested in these, you could say also ideological subjects, but also in the, you know, when it comes to these little nations like Hungary or the Czechoslovakians. So, and also this is why this book is still interesting today, because, you know, with Viktor Orban, this whole matter of Hungary is still interesting, why there is a still nationalist feeling in the country. So we thought we would make this. We also did a more light theory book about Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, and which was written by a French guy, actually, and his way of perceiving these things. Yeah, this is basically what we do. So we have this mix of romantic novels and theory books, which are very, very basic for the right-wing structure in Germany, I think. And many books are, what should I call it, basic for any activist group, like identitary movement. They most activist guys have at least read once of these books we published.
All right, so it is a mix of fiction and non-fiction. Do you get accused of being an ideological publishing house, a political? I'm imagining this is the kind of thing that you have faced.
Yes.
Would you like to talk about that?
You know, since the first book we did ever was also by Pietro La Rochelle, the idea is there for many who read about that Young Europa is a fascist publishing house. So obviously we have many, many books from this time span, like I said, the 20s and 30s, with Pietro La Rochelle being the most famous guy. But also we did a book about the Spanish Civil War, we could say like a propaganda book, but also very interesting. And this is the thing. So When you Google like Spanish Civil War, you can find lots and lots of literature about the Republican side. You maybe find a novel by Hemingway about the civil the Republican side, but you don't have any literature about the nationalist side. And so we don't have to take a stance here, but you could also accept that it's interesting to read about the other side. So I'm not here who glorifies the nationalist side and in Spanish Civil War, but it's very, very interesting if you go deep into the subject and look which groups were active back then, and what was were their ideas for Spain and Europe at the time. So it's more about putting another focus in the literature scene, like publishing books no one other does. This is the idea.
Getting a fresh perspective on something. What would you say about... Well, first of all, another question that I wanted to ask is, does Young Europa Verlag, does it do only paper, or does it now do ebooks as well? I mean, and what do you think about that transition?
This is a very good question, because I don't know exactly if we did an ebook. I think not. What we were trying was an audiobook. We had a very, very good reader who read a novel by Jung Europa Publishing House. It was my first book, on a side note, which he read. And Philipp Stein, who is, as I said, the head of Jung Europa, he is like a bibliophile, you could say. So he is very into making good books, not just on the inside, but he loves how they're crafted. So this is very, very important issue for him. This book of Pietro La Rochelle about his travels in Europe, it was a new idea of him. It was like you maybe know these old books from the 40s or 30s with this, I don't know how to say, this linen covers.
Yes, so I do.
So we did try this. It's obviously more expensive than just printing a simple book with, you know, a soft cover and something like that. But it's very important for Philip and the publishing house. So we did not see into ebooks, because nobody of us, I think, has ever used it. So it's more about the feeling of having this book. So also, when you check out the internet site, you could see that we have many great covers of the book. So there's also an emphasis of making books cool. And yeah, well, I never have read an ebook myself, so this is not an issue right now. We're looking maybe a second time into that audiobook thing, but for my part, ebooks are not for me.
Right, okay. I mean, obviously, a physical book is an object, and it's something that can be special, or it's something that can be quite boring. It really depends how much effort you put into that. But I think I agree with you. I think that this is a nice thing to put some effort in, into, because you want people to feel that this is something that that time has been taken on.
Yes,
it's not just been spat out. There, time and effort have gone into this. So, and I agree, it's much harder to do that with an ebook than it is with a physical, an actual printed object. I think it's That's something that perhaps is being lost with e-books. I think it's a shame.
I think also it's rewarded by the people, so they see how good these books are made. It begins with the paper of the book. So if you have cheap paper, it feels I don't know what to call it.
It feels cheap.
It feels cheap, obviously, yes. Yeah. And we don't do that. So I think for my second book, we were sitting like a week about which font we should use on the inside, and making the coolest covers and something like that. This takes time, obviously, like you said, and but it's what Jung Europa is about. It's like a project of the heart. So we're not publishing anything we don't stand behind. So everything has to fit from the cover page to the last page. Everything must be perfect.
I understand. Another question here is, because a lot of people will have, especially the younger viewers watching this, will be accustomed to the world of the internet, and they might might wonder what is the point, what is the value of publishing in this age when you can get stuff, everything for free, blogs, essays, etc., and newspaper articles, magazine articles. A lot of it is available online. Not everything, but a lot of it is available online now. And then what about books? The books themselves as a format, as a medium, as opposed to essays and articles. What would you say about that?
It's right. Internet culture is much more faster. It's easier, obviously. You can get everything, like the basic books you have to read as an you have to read as an German right-wing guy, you can get as an PDF on the internet. But I think, like I said, what I meant with it has to be perfect, people are rewarding this. So there is I would not call it a counter movement, but especially in this time of fast internet culture, more especially right-wing guys are, taking a step back, like thinking about, should I go to the holidays and just keep books with me and no smartphone, for example? So I think this is a thing coming back into style, like these slow living, like, many German right-wing guys dream of a rural life out in the meadows with the animals on around the house and things like that. And I think it just fits that these books are also a kind of slow lifestyle. And obviously, it's not a mainstream thing. It's not for everyone in Germany, and it won't get big. But what should you do as a publishing house? You have to publish books, and so you're going for the best book you could make. And so we're not thinking about any internet things to do. Because it's just not our genre. We're not into that, and it's difficult for us to also emphasize on this also.
Yeah. Another aspect to this is the need for publishing, because for a long time there was this idea that the internet is the wild west, and it's everyone's free to say what they want, and it's democratizing. It's democratizing, so everyone can have a live journal, blog, and so on. And, you know, I benefited from that. I benefited from everyone can have a YouTube channel at one point. And I benefited from that. Fine. I'm not going to moan about that. But one of the problems is that you end up with this situation where nothing has been examined. Nothing has been tested. Nothing has been checked. Yeah. People can just say anything. And in contrast, in a previous age, there was this idea that if something is published, if something is goes through that industry, goes through that process, then it's going to be of a higher quality than if something that someone just spits out into the world. This is something that it has a certain seal of quality and approval. And I think this is why we need to be able to publish things, because our enemies can publish things. they have all of that. They can put books out, and their ideas seem like they have the seal of approval and quality. And I think this is something that this is why we need our own publishing houses. This is why we need to get out there and make this kind of thing happen, because the mainstream isn't going to give us its seal of approval.
It's very funny that you mention it, because most fans or buyers of Jung Europa Publishing House, they are very, very faithful, actually. So if you say like it's a seal of approval, if something happens to be published by Jung Europa, it's actually true. So you could see that if a new book is announced and open for pre-sale by Jung Europa, there are many faithful customers who just going directly at it. They say, "Oh, everything you put out is fine. I will also buy the next few books." So they are not very picky about I don't like the topic or this doesn't sound that interesting. But mostly the core of Jung Europa fans are people who just take it as it is. So a new book is announced, they think, I don't know, I'm not sure, but I give it a chance because everything in the past was great, so maybe this book will also be great. And in my experience, this was every time true. So we have a very, very faithful community around the publishing house. This year we did also some gathering in Eastern Germany in live like event where we had some speeches, and it was more about meeting the Philipp Stein, but also the authors of our books, and to get to know each other, because it's a very, very good community, you could say, a very, very faithful community. And this is a good thing. So,
It sounds like a very good thing. I mean, I love that idea that a publishing house would become a sort of community, it would draw people towards it. And then why not have a get together? Why not have speeches and people can have fun? I mean, it's a good excuse. It sounds great. It sounds great fun.
Yeah, we had like 500 guys meeting each other in summer. It was it was very, very cool to for me as author, it was interesting because I get to know what people think about your books, obviously, but also who are these guys who are reading your books. And you could also see these guys in person, and it's very interesting because often when you think about right-wing guys, it's like, the balding guys, the nerds with the glasses are coming to town, but in this case it was not so. So it was very, very cool.
my own experience of that kind of gathering is there are some people like that, but like 3/4 of them are not like that. So I'm often heartened by how normal a lot of people seem, because you can sort of buy the propaganda from the mainstream that it's only weirdos that get into this kind of thing. And actually it's not. A lot of people are very mainstream order. They have, normal jobs, that kind of thing. So I think it's useful to have gatherings just to see that, actually.
Yes, but, that's good,
yeah. It's encouraging. But yeah, I think that sounds very good, and I'm glad that happened. One obvious question there is, doing a real life event, that can be difficult because of Antifa, because of people who try to interfere, try to sabotage the event, etc. Did you have any trouble of that nature?
So we were very careful in the planning of the event. But as a matter of fact, you maybe heard it before that Eastern Germany is a very, what should I call it, right-wing basis. It's the political scene. It's very based. You have the most people living in Eastern Germany with the background of the GDR are very aware of how, ideological or how the system works. So they have seen it before in the GDR, and no matter what you think about it, they are very
very skeptical of that.
Yes, skeptical is a good word for it. So it's not that difficult. It's difficult still to get the right hall to host such an event, and having some guys for security and something like that. But it is possible. And for the event in the summer, we did another event in autumn before, which was also hosted in Eastern Germany. There were no Antifa troubles because they didn't know where it happened. They did know afterwards, but not before. And there was no chance of an attack or something like that, because they didn't know about it, and they would have been too few people to do anything. So this is we should also every time get do the basic thing about security. It's important, obviously, but for the last two events were safe. There was no problem with Antifa, because we had this good community. Also, the guys who have these halls or have these locations. There are some over whole Germany who where you could do such an event without any trouble. And this is very important. And we know these guys. We know guys for securities, which are, you could say, on our side. And so the security matter was not a problem.
That's good. I mean, these are very real concerns, and it's good that you have those sorted out. I guess the other thing and you mentioned this when you contacted me, was that last year there was a problem with I don't know if it was Antifa exactly, but at the book fair that Jung Europa, tell people about that.
Yeah, you may know that the book fair in Frankfurt in Germany is the biggest book fair in the world, and also Jung Europa was there. It may sound irregular that a right-wing publishing house gets a place there, but there were some right-wing publishing houses in the past there, also with some sort of problems.
Yeah, I think that Lixmas told me that he had been at that fair a couple of years ago and got attacked.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think this was 2017, where he was with Martin Zellner, and there was a little riot, you could say, with people throwing hands at each other and things like that. But this time it was more like a... what do you call it, like a clash of words. So there is this black author, Jasmina Kunke, she's called, and she did write a book about her experience as a black single mother. She was scheduled to talk at the book fair about this, I think, at a very, very big stage. And just, you know, weeks or days before the book fair, she did get to know about the our presence there, that Jung Europa Publishing House would be there. So she canceled her...
her appearance.
Her appearance there, and said she would not feel safe there, because there are right wing extremists there who could possibly attack her, and obviously she meant us by this, and so this. Every mainstream media talked about this, about is it safe for black people at the book fair and shit like that. Like we were really going to hunt people down there, but maybe they really, had this fear. So she canceled. And, also this was a PR stunt, you could say, because she was publishing her book right at these days, and she had all the attention of all the media. Maybe her book would not interested that much people, but with this media attention, it did. And there were many people who declared solidarity with her, and there were then the book fair itself took security down to us, and they had more security personnel at our hall, and it was just crazy. But obviously, it was a non-existence threat that she called out, but okay, whatever, because the name Jung Europa was also all about the media, and it was, I don't have to say this, also very good for our sales.
Oh, just like that. Ah, that's good. That's a silver lining. Yeah, the I know that the term shitstorm has actually transitioned into German. It hasn't even been translated. I know that Germans just say shitstorm. Yes. It's a recognized word. Because that is actually a swear word in English. But it's just said casually. I've actually seen newspaper headlines with shitstorm in the middle of it.
So you don't say shitstorm?
Well, you wouldn't see it in a newspaper headline. It is, the word shit is actually a swear word. I mean, yes. Don't worry. I'm not complaining at all. It's fine. But it's just funny that it's one of those terms that has just entered German from the English word. And yes. No one seems to realize that it's actually a rude thing you're saying. It's quite funny. But yeah, this is a good example of them claiming that they're under threat, that they're in danger from the far right, and they'll use all sorts of terms of white supremacists, fascists, neo-Nazis, and all that. And it's a strange thing, because the system, this is a way for it to energize itself. You know, they get excited about it. They get they get to demonize us.
To be honest, I think this tactic is at a dead end, because you know this black author Jasmina Kunke, she has a whole Twitter bubble around herself, and they were basically more fighting against other liberal or left-wing leaning people who were at the fair, because they said, why are you at the fair? Don't you declare solidarity with me? And so everybody who was on the book fair, guys that you know on the mainstream media or in the literature scene, she asked, why you do this? As a white people, you could go to the book fair without having fear. I have fear, and attacked her own people, not her own people, but people who you think would be on her side on this topic. So I think this whole postmodernist, this is her Twitter bubble, I think the postmodernists, they have some sort of clashes in their own scene to fight, and this is annoying many, many people who don't have time or energy for this kind of shit. So they don't want to fight with a black author about who should be able to go fair and who not. So if you don't feel secure at a book fair, call the police or something like that. But so these left-wing guys, they're all fighting each other on the internet, but also in real life and in discussions about these topics. And we're the bad guys, obviously. We are sitting smiling in the corner, in our the corner we got. We like that corner, and we're drinking beer and watching the show. It was funny to watch how it all broke down.
Yeah, and I see that this woman, Jasmina Kunke, actually, there's a section, she has a Wikipedia article, and there is actually a section about it, about this, the debate about boycotting the Frankfurt Book Fair.
Yes.
So it's obviously worked for her. I mean, this is obviously added to her public profile. But I guess a more interesting question is, did the book fair... did they ban you? Did they ban Young Europa? And is there any danger of that happening, do you think?
No, I don't think so. After the incident Lichtmess told about in 2017, I think, there was some, the book fair declared that there are some kind of free speech. So everyone is welcomed at the book fair. They are not going to ban publishing houses, except they are publishing, books that are forbidden or something like that. If you do anything that is prohibited by law, but If you don't do that, you could be there. It's okay. So in 2018, I was also there with Jung Europa Verlag. And this time they had the idea, okay, you could be there, but we prepared a corner for you. So they put all the right wing publishing house. I think it was like three publishing houses in the last corner of a book fair hall. So it was not in the center. People, most people coming at our, you know, coming to us were actually searching for a toilet, and it was outside of the focus. And this worked for the book fair. So the right-wing guys don't get the attention they need, they said. In 2019, we were not there for obvious reasons, because we didn't want to be in that corner. Then came the COVID lockdowns, and then there was the book fair after the lockdown. And somehow they forgot about us. So they didn't put us in our little corner from 2018. We were just right in the middle at the book fair, among mainstream publishing houses, left-wing publishing house, right in front of us. And they just didn't thought about us, obviously. It was funny.
It's interesting, because I think in Britain this would have played out differently. I suspect that a book fair, if it came under pressure like that, I think it would ban a participant like that. Even though there is supposedly freedom of speech and all that, I think that in the Anglosphere there's far more, there's actually less of a respect for freedom of speech in practice, I think. It's a weird thing. Obviously, there are certain things that are legal to say in Britain that are not legal to say in Germany. But generally speaking, the I think there's actually more respect for freedom of speech in Germany than there is in Britain today. I think that they would ban you. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, it's interesting. I can't say how is that so, because I don't know why, you know, the situation in Britain is so difficult. But I think you have also this problem with these anti hate speech organizations who would immediately call you out if you would make an appearance there, I think. And, you know, the book fair is, at this point, it's neutral, you could say. They have a stance towards us. They don't like us. They will put us in a corner. So we didn't make it to the book fair this year. We just said it was a one-trick pony, so we did it last year, but we would not try it again. Also, you have to pay to be there, so it's not that cheap to go there. You have to calculate your costs, and so we didn't. But it's okay for German conditions. It's okay, you could say.
Yeah.
To be there.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging. I guess somebody asked, is Young Europa a German equivalent of Arctos Publishing? What would you say about that?
I read it also in the comments. It's a very interesting comment, because I mentioned the Tolkien book before here, which we published. It's a French book we translated into German. The English version of this book is available through Arctos right now. I think it was just published a month before. You could compare these two. Obviously, in my opinion, Arctos has a much more greater span of literature they are publishing, like from books about Oswald Spengler and political theory to esoteric literature, like with Julius Evola and things like that. We don't do things like that, but also, you know, Arctos has these cool covers. They have these very European focus on their literature, so they are publishing books from German authors, from Italian authors, from French authors, and this is, in my opinion, it's comparable, but obviously I have to say that the Jung Europa books are, you know, somewhat of more quality, if you ask me. I have this little book from Alexander Dugin, and it's, like we talked before, a very cheap print, and I'm not very fond of it. So this is just, I didn't...
You would say that Jung Europa puts special effort into the physical presentation of the book.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
oh, sorry, what were you going to say about Alexander Dugin?
No, I was just, I wanted to say that I did not follow Arctos like for 3 or 4 years, but I just saw it that they are publishing the same book as we do, but in English, which is, I think, a good thing. Also, the book about Tolkien is... I recommend it to read it to you, to read. So if anybody is interested, you should give it a chance. But I could not say much about the rest of Arctos, what they're doing right now. But I think it's okay. So you could compare these two publishing houses, I think, in a way.
Yeah. Another person asked, and just I think you've already covered this, but do Jung Europa publish both old books from decades ago as well as new books now, new titles? I think you have covered that, and the answer is yes.
Yes, it's, but, yes.
Yeah. Are you looking for new authors?
Yes, we do. Always and at any time. So it's a very good thing because, you know, we are not a big publishing house with a CEO who is far away. This is why we do these community meetings, so we get to know each other. And there were these occasions where people did come up to us and say, "Hey, I have written a book. Won't you give it a try?" And we did, and it was great, and it was published. We did it also on other occasions. So we were invited in Paris in April this year at Iliad Institute, which is the institute for Alain de Benoist, a great French right-wing theory thinker, you could say. And I think there this guy approached us with the Tolkien book. So it was also like not an artificial thing between two publishing houses, but it was just a guy going over to us and ask if his book could be published. So this is a very, very good thing. So we have also these new influences always. So from young authors and new ideas, we're publishing another book, which was just handed over to us in the next year about the political Islam. And it will be very interesting to, because he has a very distinctive stance towards it, and it will be very interesting to read, I think. And most publishing houses don't do that, so you don't have the opportunity to publish a book in a mainstream publishing house, because this won't happen. Your script, no one would read it if you don't have a name, in my opinion, I think. So,
all right. So would you say that it's a good idea to go with a more niche publishing house like Young Europa, because they'll put more effort into marketing? Is that what you were saying there?
Yeah.
Because there is this thing about the mainstream not caring about new authors.
Sorry. It depends on what you want as an author. If you want to get the biggest attention, you should try it with a mainstream media publishing house, if you have a book which you think would fit in. But for writing theory, for example, or novel like my novels, which are not very political in an obvious sense, so you could also take them to Jung Europa, because as I said, it won't be published in a big publishing house. It and in my opinion, it's senseless to publish in a big mainstream publishing house, because why should anyone do this and work for these guys? I think it's more like if you are in this whole Jung Europa community, it's just natural to talk with your publisher about all the things, and you have all the changes maybe in the book in your hands. So there won't be anyone overruling you about some text you wrote. I think you did talk to Nils Wegner in the past, or you will.
I will be in a few days. Yeah.
Yes, he is one of the guys working for Jung Europa, and when we published my novels, we were sitting not together because we did it on the internet, but we have big comments on my texts and how we should change it and how we should put it and things like that. And it's very, very, it's like, I don't like the picture, but it's like a family. So it's not a company where you publish your books, but you could talk with everyone about what you're going to do. And if you have a cool idea for a cover, I could also bring it in, and maybe some of the guys painting the cover will do it. So you could make everything yourself, and that's very, very cool. If you want to do your own thing, it's I think a better opportunity than trying in a mainstream publishing house.
Yeah, this is a thing that the mainstream will take your book from you, and
yes,
they'll alter it, they'll do all sorts of things without, and you don't have any authority, you don't have any influence over the process. Whereas with smaller publishers, you have much more of a say, much more influence in what happens and how the book looks, how it's edited, and so on. So, yeah. That is definitely a consideration. What kinds of authors are you looking for, and what kinds of books should people bring to Jung Europa? If there are authors watching, what kind of material are you looking for?
What we're searching, also you could try it with novels at any time, because it was also a very important part of our publishing house. But I think what would be interesting are very distinctive looks from your country you're coming from, because we have this Europe focus in our publishing house. It's very, very interesting for us as Germans to see how people from other countries look on the project Europe. So in the past, in the future, in the present, we will have a book in next year about Viktor Orban from Hungary, and Hungarian point of perspective. So it will also be interesting to you know, have a you know, maybe you're coming from Scotland and you have a point to make about Scottish nationalism. So you could write about that and give it to us, because obviously we have no idea about Scottish nationalism. So, but it would be very, very interesting to get this to our people and to read about it, because I think it's very, very important to look on the other European countries, nations, nationalists, what they are doing, what their feelings about Europe and their own country are. And these are not books we could write ourselves, obviously. So there are some universal subjects like, you know, identity or migration. You could write from a European perspective as a German, but there are these, how should I call it, this very special subjects no one knows about. And this is very, very interesting for us. And we're looking for that. So maybe in as a non-fictional book, but also as a fictional book, this would be possible to give us a new perspective on where you come from, on what you think about it.
All right. Well, that's definitely worth bearing in mind for any authors who are watching. I mean, it's a different market. It's a way to get your work to a different country and a new language. So I think that's definitely something that this movement, broadly speaking, this sphere, should be trying to do, to communicate between languages and across different countries, because our experience will differ from one country to another.
Yes.
But a lot of, I mean, we're dealing with the same forces and different the same phenomena. It's just interacting with our own different countries, different peoples, and so on. So it is definitely worth collaborating like that. Okay, there was one question somebody asked about just current affairs. I don't know if you would have anything to say about this, but since it's been asked, I will put the question to you. Do you have any opinion on the recent arrests of the guys accused of plotting to overthrow the German government?
Yeah. It's you know, maybe you've heard about it. The people are already making fun of it, because it was like a coup of old people. So all these people they detained were older men and older women. With a few weapons which they purchased legally, and there's not much to say about, because in other times this wouldn't be a headline for any media, but in this time it's just very good to show to the people how dangerous these right wing guys is. The important part was that media did know about it before, so they invited journalists to go to the detentions and things like that. So they had the good photos on day one to publish the story about the Reichsbürger, which is a funny phenomenon to watch in Germany, because they are, yeah, as soon as people feel that their fight for freedom, in a sense, is senseless, they turn towards these rather funny ideas
restoring the monarchy and so on.
Yeah, not just that, because many of these people think that I don't know if you read about it, but they had also like a ministry for astrology what they wanted to do, and very very funny ideas about how to build a new empire, and it's just lunatic. They are lunatics, and they are not doing anything good for us, obviously, but as far as I see it, people are not buying it anymore. I don't think that anybody sees these elderly men and women as a threat to the German state. Yeah, there's not much to say about it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it seemed rather absurd. One last thing that I did want to ask you about was your own books. And I should have said this at the start, that you are yourself an author. Would you like to tell people about your own work?
Yeah, well, as I said, the good thing about Jung Europa is that you could approach us on a very, very easy level. So this was also what I did. I was also very, very fond of literature in my youth, and so I did write a little novel, and I approached Philipp, the head of Jung Europa, and asked him if we could do it, and he said yes. It was very, very easy. So it's called Enklave. I think this is also the word you would use in English, enclave.
Yes, enclave. Yeah.
Yes, and it's more of a short science fiction book in Starship Troopers, in a militaristic world. Somebody would call it utopia, but also with many experience from my time as a soldier in the German army, influenced. So, but also it's a book about possibilities and mindset. It sounds esoteric when I put it like that, but it's a book about not just the military part, but or the military part of being in the military, but also of the what it does to your mind, and with the final question if being more militaristic in your mind would be better for a society. This was just the final question, you could say, about in this book. And the second one, which was published 2 years ago, is called Ins Blaue, Into the Blue, which is a more romantic book about my home area where I'm coming from. It's southern Bavaria, where I'm coming from, you know, the Alps. And there are many myths going around these mountains and lakes there. So I put this together to a, you know, more of a romantic Lovecraftian book about this whole myth thing in Bavaria. So yeah, this was what I wrote about, but the problem would be that it's not available in English right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask if these titles are going to be translated, or is there any, is that likely that people will be able to get them in other languages in the future?
I don't know. If somebody is watching right now who is leading a publishing house which is willing to translate it, you could contact us. But right now there is no such project in planning, I would say. But we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Okay. Well, I hope that that does happen. As I said, I think collaboration is essential for us.
Yes.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that you would like to tell people about Young Europa Verlag before we finish?
No. The main things are said, and let me repeat this, because it's also, I think, the reason why we two are streaming right now, because, like I said, it's very important to get a perspective on the other countries of Europe to see how their perspective on things is about politics, but also on culture and literature, obviously. And this was also at the first beginning, it was the idea behind Young Europa, and I'm very glad to be here with you and to get the message out to the people, and maybe something will come out of it, and this would be great.
Oh, I certainly hope so. There's been a last minute question, and it's a very general, very big question. So, but I'll put it to you. This is from the Estonian. What's your perspective on the future of Germany? Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Sorry to ask you this, but it came in.
It's difficult. As I said, I'm from southern Bavaria, but I moved with the publishing house to eastern Germany, and as I also said, the eastern parts of Germany are very based in a way. So the right-wing party, the AfD, is the biggest party here on a local level. They are up to 30%, and all the people you get to know in the streets or in the villages are, they don't have to be on your side, political speaking, but they are people you could talk to. They are not like the brainless Westerners, you could say. In a way, you know, there are exceptions, but so I don't have to be all too pessimistic about the future. I don't think that the right-wing party, the AfD in Eastern Germany, will, get in charge soon. And even if they would, what could they do about all the great things that are problems right now? But you have this good environment, this good community in Eastern Germany, and this is very important to have your community, your guys, you know, and people you could trust and you could talk to about everything. And this is very, very important. So I'm not a singular person of which is doing resistance in a big city, but you are connected to each other right now in the streets, in the villages, and I don't know what will happen in the future, but I'm very sure I can trust this connections, and I will depend on it. So this is all you can do right now, but I don't think it's all too pessimistic, I would say. What happens with Germany, we will see.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been very interesting. So thank you very much for this conversation. The Young Europa, is there are links in the description box, so people should be able to find it very easily. But in the meantime, thank you for appearing on Millennial 8.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. I did think that Robin Riley was going to be appearing at the end of this at 2 a.m., but unfortunately she doesn't seem to be able to make it. So I'm afraid that is it for tonight. But I will be back tomorrow with four streams. Because, of course, there was Kino Casino had to cancel, so then I tried to get Robin Riley to cover, but that hasn't happened. Unfortunate, but there we go. Tomorrow night, the traditional Britain group, then Pox Populi, then Jared Taylor, and then Black Pilled. So that should be a very interesting set of streams. all right, so I will see you all then. Thank you for appearing on Millennial. I already said that. And okay, everyone else, I will see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye for now.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. The show must go on, but it needs your help. There are many ways to make a cash donation. Find all of these at millennial.com/donate. Your kindness will be warmly appreciated. Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile blogger. Please help him continue. Until next time, enjoy the show and spread the word.